Turn over to Jonah. That's in the Old Testament for all you Bible scholars. Repeatedly, I go through these stages to where, you know, every now and then somebody comes up to me and, well, Pastor, do you have a word for me? And this is complicated by the fact that the Lord does use me quite frequently in giving words. And so people just, you know, some people, I guess, they just think you can turn it on and turn it off whenever you want. So, you know, Pastor, you got a word for me? You got a word for me? Yeah, go pray and get your own. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord, pray. And sometimes, you know, the Lord does give me words, but, and you know, you patiently endure when people ask things like that. You know, do you have a word for me? It's like, well, let's think now. If I did, don't you think I would give it to you? So the fact that I have not given you a word, should that not tell you that I don't have a word for you? Let's do the math here. Well, you know, people want to hear from God. And I understand that because I can remember years ago when we would be in services and people who were known to be used of God in words of knowledge or prophecy or wisdom would be ministering. You know, people were always hoping to get called out. You know, back when I was in school, called out had a whole different meaning. It's amazing how things change. And so, you know, you're always hoping to get called out because you just knew that if you got called out, you were going to get a great word. You know, God's going to do this and great things are going to happen and you're going to be a millionaire and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you can kind of, when the service was over, you kind of look around, this, you know, did y'all hear what he said about me? Did you hear the word? Did you hear what I got? Huh? Were you listening when he gave me my word? Did you hear how great I'm going to be? Well, anyway, sometimes, God always wants to give people a word, okay? That's not the question. But sometimes the word that the Lord gives to people is not exactly the word they want to hear. Oh, God! Pastor Jim said I'm supposed to pray to get a word from you. So, okay, I'm praying. What was that, Lord? No, not that. No, I think that word was for Pastor Jim. That one's not for me. You're joking, right, Lord? You don't really mean that, do you? Sometimes the Lord will give you a word, and a lot of times people, when they want these words from the Lord, they want to know what God wants them to do. Oh, Pastor, just pray with me that I know what God wants me to do. What's the next step? Well, I understand that. I do. Hey, I want to know the next step. Well, sometimes the next step is not the step we want. Sometimes the instructions that the Lord gives us, you know, it's not exactly what we were hoping for. But now here's the thing. If you pray and you ask God to give you a word, you know, Father, show me what's next. What's the next thing you want me to do? It's really in your best interest to be prepared to receive it and then to do it. Because whatever word he gives you, that is what he expects you to do. Like it or not, that is what he will wait forever for you to do. When I say forever, I mean the natural forever. Because whatever he tells you to do is relative to your life here in this world. And it's also relative to his will. So you ask him, what do you want me to do? And he tells you. And from the moment he tells you to the moment you enter into eternity, that is waiting. That word, that instruction is waiting to be accomplished. And God is not going to forget what he told you to do. And I can remember one time, you know, he gave me an instruction. I forgot it. He didn't. And about 2 years later, I found it in my notebook. And it's like, I was supposed to do that.
But did you do it?
Look here in Jonah. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I get a kick out of this. I mean, out of all the Bible stories, think about this. You know, as a kid growing up in church, and some of you, maybe you can relate to this, you heard this story, Jonah and the whale. And it's like sometimes the way it's told, the impact of it is lost. It becomes, okay, just, you know, well, Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Okay, yeah, but let's think about this. Jonah got a word. Everybody wants a word from the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? Jonah got a word from the Lord, did he not? Now, he received it. You know, he knew what it was. I mean, he received this word. There are a lot of people that God will speak to them and they don't have a clue. It's God. And it's interesting how sometimes, you know, the Lord will give me a word for somebody and I'm praying. In fact, what happens many times is as I'm praying for somebody, what I pray is what God has been speaking to them about. It doesn't come out of me as a thus saith the Lord. I'm just praying over them. And Father, help them, whatever. And then after the prayer, it's like, that's exactly what God's been speaking to me about. How did you know? Well, I didn't. Did you write it down for anybody? Well, no, I didn't. Then how do you think I knew? You didn't give me a note. So Jonah, he heard this word. He received it. Then what did he do? He evaluated this word, did he not? Don't we all? He heard it, and he evaluated it. In other words, is this the kind of word that I want to receive from the Lord? Is this the kind of word that I think is really for me? Is this the kind of word that fits into my plans when it comes to serving God? Well, in Jonah's case, he said, no, this is not the kind of word I want from God. I have better plans to do, or I have better things to do, better ways of fulfilling your will, God. Hey, you leave it to me. How about if I give you a word, all right? Thus saith the Jonah. I will not go to Nineveh. I will go to Tarshish. How's that, God? Well, it doesn't work that way. Now, you can do that, but it doesn't work. So Jonah received this word. He evaluated it, and then what did he do? He rejected that word. That really can't be me. For me. That really can't be God speaking to me. Well, he knew it was the Lord, but he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And today, all right, now get a hold of this. Sooner or later, God is going to tell you to do something that you don't want to do. You just get used to it. He's going to tell you to do something that doesn't fit into your plans. He's going to tell, okay, here's one. Let's imagine that there is a church where, I don't know. Let's say before their morning service, they have a time of worship. And somebody is wanting direction from God.
Oh, God, what do I do?
Pastor, would you please pray for me? I get a word. Pastor, may I talk with you privately? I'm seeking God. I need a word from the Lord, but I need to know where I should start. Well, what's the Lord told you to do? Well, he's told me to get back into seeking him and so on and so forth. And because he wants to do a work in my life. Okay, now he's told you that, right? Yep. So you have an idea about this. Well, anyway, let's say that the Lord tells this person, I want you to seek me through worship, and one of the ways I want you to do that is to show up at that time of worship before the church starts its Sunday morning service. But God, that means I got to get up early. God says, no, you get to sleep in. But God, they start that worship thing at 9:15. God says, yeah, but Monday through Friday, you have to be at work at 7:30. So you get to sleep in on Sunday. Want me to tell the pastor to start it at 7:30? No, God. So there's the instruction right there. Be there at 9:15 for the time of worship. That is God's next step. That is your Nineveh, if you will. That's what God said, do. And so you hear it, you think about it, you evaluate it, and it's like, nah, that really isn't. It can't be that important for me to do this. If that's what God has told you to do, it is that important. Now let me say it another way, and I'll explain this later on. It's life and death important. But it's just a simple thing like showing up at 9:15 to worship with a bunch of other people at the church, and I just don't. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. God said, do it. Well, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. So he heard and received this word. He evaluated it, and then he rejected it. But guess what? Nineveh was still waiting. Jonah could do whatever he wanted with this word. But Nineveh was still waiting. Nineveh was going nowhere. You understand that? They weren't going to move just because Jonah wasn't going to show up. Truth is, they didn't even know Jonah was supposed to be there. But God knew, and God, Jonah, go tell him. Go deal with this. Jonah didn't want to do it. Which brings us to this point. Are you prepared for what God might say? Now this may sound like a kind of a trite question to some people, but it's very serious. Are you prepared for what God might say? Oh God, I want a word. Oh God, I want a word. There have been times where the Lord has given us a word here, and I don't remember exactly how it went, so I'm going to kind of paraphrase it a little bit. How that God instructed people if they would go home and spend time in worship, that He would give them answers. And those kind of things have come forth here. Well, be interesting to know how many people went home and worshiped. My guess is none. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just, by experience over the years, I would say probably nobody did. Either that night or the next. They just let it fade away. It was for somebody else. It wasn't for me. And they're the ones that have been asking God questions. And they should have caught on. God's telling you here. There have been times where God has given words for a specific person in this congregation. But I was not led to call that person out. I was led just to give the word. And they didn't do anything with it. You say, how do you know? Trust me, I know. They didn't. Didn't do anything with it. Are you prepared to receive whatever word the Lord may give you? Now, that's, you know, we like to say yes, but in reality, you got to remember, the moment He gives you an instruction, that is never going to change, ever. It's not going to go away. His word remains intact forever. And this is very critical, because once He reveals it to you, He sits back and says, okay, let's do it. Well, look here in verse 4. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God. Could you hear that? All these guys, whatever, whoever they worshipped, they're calling out, oh Zeus, oh Apollos, oh this one, oh that one. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. What did they do? Okay, now here's a ship. Now this ship has been hired by people to send their products from point A to point B, from Joppa to Tarshish, to be sold to make money. All right? What did they do? They threw it all overboard. So now whose pocket is going to be lighter? Theirs. Do you think they're concerned about this? Yes, but at the moment they're more concerned about their own lives. Listen, it's got to be a bad storm for these guys to throw their money overboard, to throw their profit overboard. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Does that sound familiar? Huh? The difference between Jesus and Jonah was Jesus was doing what he was supposed to. Jonah wasn't. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" I wonder what that means in the Hebrew. "Arise, call upon thy God." We don't care who it is, just call upon your God. "If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I don't know about you, but I can remember times in school where the teacher would call out my name, and I would get that sick kind of feeling down the pit of my stomach. I still remember this, to this day. Over 100 years later, I still remember this. Fourth grade, Mrs. Ballantyne. Whenever she would call me James, buddy, that I knew it. It was over. What I don't know, whatever I did, you know, it was over. James, oh man, not again. You know that Jonah, while they're casting these lots, he's thinking, oh God, please don't let it fall on me. Please don't let it fall on me. Bingo, it's Jonah. And in verse 8 it says, they say unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid. Now they were already afraid, but now they're exceedingly afraid. You say, well, why in the world would they be afraid of this? Because the reputation of what God had done with the nation of Israel to Egypt and other nations there in the promised land, I mean, these stories were still being told. And even if these guys didn't fully believe in the Jehovah God that the Israelites worship, they realized and they knew that there were a lot of nasty things to happen to a lot of people because this God fought their battles. So they're exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" The heathen asking him, "Why are you rebelling against God? What is your problem?" I mean, boy, if that isn't something. "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Now verse 13, I like this. Because it says, nevertheless, or in spite of what he said. Now they asked him, "What do we do? What do we do to you?" And he said, "Throw me overboard." And these guys are thinking, we can't do that. I mean, for one thing, it might make their God, this God even madder if we do. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it into the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord." That is probably the first time in their lives they have called out unto the real God. "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us his innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now they're not afraid of the storm anymore. Now they are exceeding. Now they realize this God is for real. Now look here. "And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." Can you imagine what these guys must have promised? But here's the thing. They made a sacrifice unto the Lord. Now think. They just threw everything overboard, right? What did they kill? Think about it. They sacrificed something. You imagine that? The captain, he's on the ship, and he says, "This is the real God. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" And one of the crewmen, "Maybe we should sacrifice something." The captain says, "Good idea. Find something alive and let's kill it now." "But sir, we threw everything overboard." "Really? You're..." You're the smallest one on this ship. Come here, buddy. Let's talk. Well, they sacrificed something. Maybe it was, you know, the parrot. I don't know, but they sacrificed something. Now think about what's happened here. Jonah heard the word, he received the word, but he rejected the word, and the consequences are starting to mount up. Now, he gets on that boat. Do you think he had any idea that what was going to happen on that ship? Absolutely none. I mean, he's thinking, I'll go to Tarshish. I'm out of here, dude. And so the ship sets sail. And if not for the courage of the fearless crew... So, here, this storm rises up. Jonah's asleep. And they go down and wake him up and they say, we got a problem up here and we need some help. And when Jonah realizes the severity of the problem, somehow he got a revelation this was because of his rebellion to God. Now, these guys are innocent of this. Completely innocent. In fact, now think about this. If Jonah had done what God told him to do, these guys would never have entered the picture. Never. He was going in the opposite direction. But because of his rebellion, because of his refusal to accept what God told him to do, that refusal now caused other people to be drawn in. And it wasn't just the people on the ship. It was all of the people who had made the wares that were put on that ship. They're not involved. They're now involved. And it's also all the people there in Tarshish waiting for these wares to be delivered. So it's not just the people on the ship. Several business people and their families have now been impacted by this. A lot of people have entered into some degree of economic hardship because of what Jonah has done. You need to let that sink in. Because all so often, we think that if God tells us to do something and we don't do it, we're the only one that might suffer consequences. When in reality, when God gives us an instruction, if we say no, there is a ripple effect to all of this. I remember one time the Lord spoke to me. You know, the Bible says we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, you can argue about that all you want, but the Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That includes the people in the wheelchairs and so on and so forth. The Lord was dealing with me about, you know, folks in wheelchairs and folks that are going through a lot of, you know, real physical issues and so on and so forth. And he said, they deserve a whole lot more from you than what they're getting. And I knew what he meant. And I wasn't pressing into God enough for his anointing to flow through me so those people could have their bodies healed. I knew what he meant. That'll step on your toes. But he's right. Because let's face it, if we all had pressed, would have pressed into God to where we could be with Jesus, I mean, as far as conforming to the image of Christ, you and I both know there'd be a whole lot more healed people walking around. You know there would. There'd be a whole lot more devils cast out. There'd be a whole lot of more problems already solved if we had done that. And I mean, this is a rather sobering thought. So, if God gives us an instruction, let's just say he says to you, I want you to spend 1 hour a day in prayer. It's like, oh God, I don't know about that. Spend an hour a day in prayer. The ball games are on television. I got grass to cut. How many people are going to die from their sickness because we didn't spend that hour? Brother Martin, could you move on in this sermon? See what I mean? It really is that serious. And these guys here, I don't know what the end result would have been if Noah had kept his mouth shut. I don't know if that ship would have sunk or not. But you can see already there's a lot of people here who have been impacted who would never even have known Jonah existed if it hadn't been for him saying, no, I don't want to do what the Lord has told me to do. So the choice that he made, it impacted a whole lot of people. And not only that, he finally tells them, throw me overboard. Now, you know, you can help me with this later on, but as I've read through this, I can't find where God told Jonah, tell the men to throw you overboard. I mean, where did he come up with this idea? Maybe the Lord spoke it to him, but I'm not sure. Maybe I missed something, okay? But he chose apparent death. Now get this. He chose apparent death. He could have said, okay, guys, look, it is my fault. If you'll take me back to Joppa and drop me off so I can go on to Nineveh, I know it's going to be an inconvenience, but this is why we have this problem here. He could have said that, but he didn't. Now, I don't know how far away they were from Joppa, but they were rowing to try to get to shore, and they couldn't. I mean, maybe Jonah could have said, look, let's just turn the ship around, and whatever way the wind is blowing, you know, let's head. But he said, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. And I can't see any other options. We're here. He could have said, just put me in a little boat, if they had any little boats. You know, put me over the side. I mean, I don't know. But he just said, throw me overboard. And he's looking at death here. You understand this? Now, unless God spoke to him and said, have them throw you overboard and I'm going to have a big fish come and swallow you, he didn't know. All he knows is, big storm and I'm going over the side. So in his mind, he's possibly thinking, this is the day I die. All because I said, no, I won't go to Nineveh. But here's what's interesting. I don't see anything in here where he said, God, I'll go to Nineveh. I don't see it in here. What if he had done that? What if he had said, oh God, these men are innocent. It's not their fault. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I will go to Nineveh. I will go to Nineveh. What if he had done that? Is it possible the storm would have stopped right then? Well, maybe. Maybe so. I mean, we can speculate on a lot of these things, but I find it very interesting, the one thing he did choose. And that was, throw me overboard. I mean, let me just elaborate using my imagination. I would rather drown than go to Nineveh. That's almost what it seems like. Maybe not. But he made this decision to choose apparent death over obedience, and the whole thing, I mean, in the midst of this thing, what's going on? Nineveh is still waiting. Nineveh's still waiting for Jonah. Nineveh, we're not going anywhere. We're here. Well, let me ask you a question. Who is in your ship to Tarshish? Whose lives are you impacting by not doing what the Lord has told you to do? Hey guys, look, you know, me too. Whose lives are we impacting by not doing what the Lord's told us to do? Who's in that ship with us? How many people around us that we would have never touched are now being touched? Okay, think about it. Think. The Lord says, give me 1 hour a day in prayer. I want 1 hour. If I give you an hour, Lord, you may ask for two later on. I said, well, we'll deal with that later on. Right now, give me an hour. You give me the hour, you can prepare yourself for the two that I'll ask for later on. Just give me an hour right now. Just give me an hour. I don't have time, God. I don't have time. God says, well, I mean, that's your instruction. So now, in the hour that we're supposed to spend with Him, we leave and we go out and we do things, right? That means we are impacting people's lives that we would never have impacted. I mean, good or bad, either way, we are touching people we would have never touched if we had been obedient to God. Now let's just speculate. Is it possible that there are Christians who have ended up in car accidents that they would never have been in if they had given that hour to the Lord? I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying, hey, let's think here. So who is in this ship with you to Tarshish? Whose lives are you impacting as a result of your refusal to do what God has told you to do? Told me to do. What lives am I impacting? Well, look here in chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. This is disgusting. I mean, he talks about, you know, the weeds were wrapped around my head. You know what he's talking about. I mean, he's in the belly of this fish, and there is no light. You know that, don't you? In the movies, there would be light, all right? But in real life, there's no light. So he's in the belly of this fish with all this gunk, and, you know, stuff's bumping into him. And, you know, what if the whale swallowed something else alive? And, you know, something swims by and flaps him or what? I mean, this, you know, with no light, you've got to wonder, what is down here with me? What is in this? And the smell? I mean, you know, we're not going to get too disgusting here. I mean, this, and but he's in a belly. The digestive juices are, you know, breaking things down. And I'll guarantee you the stomach acids are eating on his hair and all this other. And he's trying to breathe without breathing. And I'll guarantee you in 3 days he probably got a little hungry. But I don't think he ate anything. I mean, I said he didn't eat anything. Okay, we're not. McDonald's. He didn't. But now, I want you to see something in this. In verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. It took him 3 days and 3 nights to figure out, this is not where I want to be. Listen, you got to be major league stubborn. Number one, you're in this massive storm, and these guys throw you overboard. So you figure, this is it, Davy Jones locker, here I come. I mean, the end, oh, you know, I'm done for. And then here comes a big old fish. Now, think about it. You're in the water. And here comes this big fish. And now, remember, the storm subsided after they threw him overboard. So you're out there dog paddling, all right? You're trying to stay afloat. And you hear a noise. And you look. Wow. And it doesn't matter what you do. This thing opens its mouth and creates a suction, and down you go. I mean, you're watching its teeth and tongue and everything. I mean, as you slide down its gullet, what are you going to think? This isn't good. I don't think they're going to find me in here. So now here you are in the belly of this big fish. What's going through your mind? Well, apparently it wasn't Nineveh. And apparently it was not the instructions that God gave him. 3 days and 3 nights, he's in the belly. Well, look, guys, I'd like to think that no matter what God had told me to do, I'm praying before I'm in the belly. Meaning, as this thing is swallowing me down, I'm grabbing a hold of teeth, I'm grabbing lips and tongue and everything. I'm sorry, God, but trust me, I will do whatever you want. I'm doing everything I can to keep from being swallowed down, but it doesn't seem like he did that. He's down there 3 days and 3 nights. I mean, how much oxygen is in a fish's belly? And he's in this. And finally, he decides to pray. Finally, he decides, well, I'm not dead. It's been, I mean, how would you know how many days it's been? You know? It's not like you have a Timex watch that lights up. How would you know? You wouldn't. So he's in there. And time's going very slowly. I'll guarantee you this. So finally he wises up and he says, you know, it's probably a good idea for me to pray and talk to God about this situation. So he finally does. Now listen. In his prayer, pay close attention to this prayer. There is nothing in here about going to Nineveh. Nothing. He's just appealing to the mercy and the grace of God in this. And the Lord accepts it. And I'm sure he said more than just what's recorded right in here. You know, with the voice of thanksgiving, you know, oh God, even if I die in here, I still praise you. You know, I love you. I mean, whatever he said, I don't know. Well, then the Lord spake unto the fish. Now, I don't know about you. This poor fish needs a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Number one, God had to prepare this fish. Can you imagine? I mean, he spoke to it here. Didn't it say he spake to the fish? Well, I'm sure he sat down with this fish beforehand and says, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to swim in that direction. And I'm going to, you're going to see a man treading water. All right? I want you to swallow him. Well, you know, this fish, he's thinking, all right, dude, dinner. Thank you, Jesus. And boom, off he goes. And he swallows him, you know. Problem is, Jonah's not digesting. That poor fish, you know, he might be getting a little upset stomach or something. It's like, oh, man. I mean, here he is, you know, swimming through the water. And his buddy, you know, Willie the whale, swims up next to him. Hey, Bruce, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm feeling terrible. What's wrong? Oh, my stomach, man. Let me guess. You swallowed a rebellious prophet, didn't you? Happened to me last week. We need to pray that he repents. Oh, man. Yeah, would you please lay flippers on me in this presence? So, the Lord speaks to the fish. And he says, okay, you can get rid of him now. And so this, I mean, it says right here that the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, fish don't normally swim up on dry land. You understand this? But this fish got so close to dry land, and there goes Jonah. You know, pew, goes flying through the air. Dude! Splat, right into the sand. And you know he's glad that he's been delivered from this. But you know what? Nineveh is still waiting. Because there's nothing in this prayer of Jonah's, nothing, where he repented for not going to Nineveh. I can't read it in here. And there's nothing in this prayer where he said, I'll go. He just appeals to the grace of God and the mercy of God, and God has the fish get rid of Jonah. Well, it brings up a question for us. Are you living in a fish belly? Okay, you ever felt like your life stinks? Is it possible you're living in a fish belly? Now, I don't know what kind of physical issues Jonah might have encountered being 3 days in the digestive system with those acids of that fish there in that belly. I don't know what kind of physical issues he might have encountered. Maybe some, maybe none. I personally believe that if there were any problems like lesions from the stomach acid, I believe that there was maybe a miraculous healing when, you know, the fish spit him out. I mean, I can't really confirm that from Scripture, but I'm just guessing. But you bring that to us today, and literally, we're not in a fish's belly. But figuratively speaking, how many Christians, how many of us are living in a fish's belly? Nothing goes right. Nothing happens. I mean, it's like everything I do just falls apart. Well, is it possible that you're in a fish's belly? Is it possible that you've been swallowed up by circumstances when you were never supposed to be in those circumstances in the first place? Is it possible that your fish's belly is a healing that is not manifesting? Because you are in absolute rebellion to a word of instruction that God's given to you. I don't know. Is it possible that financial issues are your fish's belly? Family issues? Marital issues? What is it? Is it possible that some of the junk you're going through right now, you're actually living in a fish's belly? And God is waiting for you to take the first step in His direction to fix this. Now, He'll fix it and He'll work in your life to bring about reconciliation, restoration, all these other things that are necessary. He will do that. But, I mean, you know, when's the last time you went to God and said, God, is the reason I'm in all this mess the fact that I have not obeyed You? Is there something that You told me to do that I haven't done? Or that maybe You said to me 3 years ago or 5 years ago and I just didn't want to do it because I just didn't, you know. It's like I have talked to Christians. Come to me. Oh, pastor, you know, I need to talk to you. You know, problem, explain. Oh, pastor, what? Well, here's what you need to do. And I begin to say, well, I know I need to do those things. Well, is it possible that problem, complain, and problem, and explain, and problem, is it possible that this is your fish's belly? I mean, you just said, you know, that you're supposed to do this. I've had some people look at me and basically say, I don't want to do that, though. All right, man. Live in that fish's belly. I can't do anything for you. The only thing that I can do is pray that somehow your eyes will be open and you'll realize, you know, I need to do what I need to do here as far as God is concerned and my relationship with Him. So is it possible you're living in a fish belly? Well, you're going to have to see God on that one. But I personally believe there are a lot of Christians living in the figurative belly of a fish because they are refusing to do what God has told them to do. Well, in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, aha, finally, I'm going to get a word from the Lord. It's going to be something that I want to do. Finally, I'm going to get a word from the Lord that's going to make me happy. Finally, I'm going to get a word from the Lord that fits into my plans and my life and my television time. Finally, I have convinced God He needs to change His mind. Okay, Lord, go ahead, speak. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God, I thought we talked about this once. All right, now, what's this tell you? It tells you once you get a word from the Lord, that word stands. It's not going to change. What He said is what He said. And so here's Jonah. The Lord speaks to him and says, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, yeah, I heard that before. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. In fact, Nineveh at the time was the capital of Assyria. Big city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger and we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. This word repented means he decided that he would not bring about this judgment. There's a message in the message here. Guys, listen up. Nineveh was not a Jewish city. Please let this sink in. Nineveh was not a Jewish city, but they responded to the word of God and they repented before God. They never became Jewish. And later, many years later, they did go back and to sin and the city was destroyed. But at this point in time, with these heathen Gentiles, they repented before God, and the city was spared. How many thousands of people lived in Nineveh at this time? We don't know for sure. History's kind of sketchy on this, but it was a big city. And it says that God did not destroy the city. Now, I don't know about you, but This right here speaks volumes to me. Now listen. I'm going to say something that a lot of people would probably argue with. But I believe this gives us a precedent. If God would listen to a bunch of heathens back then, why would he not listen to a bunch of heathens today? The type and shadow for the Christians is the Jewish people. These people weren't Jewish. Yet God sent a word that said, repent from your evil ways. I personally believe that today, if you can get a culture, even if they don't fully embrace Christ, if they will turn from wicked ways and embrace what you would call moral, scriptural standards for their society, God will bless that society. And history has proven that. And here these people, they weren't Jewish. And yet here goes Jonah. And he preaches this word that the Lord told him to preach. You'll notice that when Jonah received a word, the first word and the second word were exactly the same. Why is that? Same word. In other words, when Jonah got the instruction from God, that instruction was hanging the whole time. And until Jonah obeyed, go to Nineveh, he would not receive the next set of instructions. You say, well, what do you think the next set of instructions for Jonah were? I can tell you. It's right here in Scripture. Look. Verse 1, the Lord said to Jonah, verse 2, arise, go unto Nineveh. Okay, that was the original instruction, right? Here's instruction number 2. And preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Number 1, go. Number 2, listen and tell them what I tell you to tell them. God, what do I tell them when I get there? Go there and I'll tell you what to tell them. So he goes and the Lord begins to tell him what he's supposed to tell those people. In other words, until you do step 1, I'm not going to tell you which direction step 2 is going to take you. You want an instruction from me, I'll give you an instruction. But you can't leapfrog over instruction number 1 to do instruction number 2. Because instruction number 2 is based on the completion of instruction number 1. So think about this. Here we are tonight. What is the last thing God told you to do? Well, Brother Martin, quite frankly, I don't have a clue. Okay. Then I can tell you what the last thing is that God told you to do. Get in His presence and pray to receive instruction. You say, well, how do you know that's what the Lord told me to do? Because He told Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach what I tell you to preach. Okay? He told me, stand in the pulpit and preach what I tell you to preach. Okay? I have preached many times. Get in His presence and receive from Him His word and His instructions to you for your life according to His will. Haven't I said that? And that's, I mean, straight from the Word of God. So that is the last thing that God told you to do, was to get in, and to me, to get in His presence to receive His instructions from Him. So if you haven't done that, you know what to do. Get in His presence and stay there. I know you have to go to work. I know you've got, you know, other things you have to do. But what I'm saying is, you get in His presence. And yes, you have to go to work, you have to do the laundry, and so, but you go back into His presence. And you seek Him. And you spend time praying in the Spirit. Because praying in tongues helps condition your spirit to begin to hear His voice. And you keep doing this. Because guys, listen, God's got a plan for every single one of us, okay? How in the world are we going to accomplish what He needs us to do in the kingdom for Him if we don't listen to Him and if He doesn't tell us? How will we know? So what that means is God is going to speak. It's not an if. It is a when. He is going to speak to every single one of you if you stay in His presence and just stay there. And sometimes you have to stay longer than other times. You know why? Because He's wanting to develop patience in us. It isn't that He's being stubborn. He's wanting us to learn how to wait on Him. But He will speak. And listen, I was taught that God doesn't speak anymore. Well, then how in the world do you know what God wants you to do? Well, whatever seems right. As long as it's not sin. Well, thanks for the help. I guess I'm on my own then. Just don't commit a sin and everything's okay. As long as you like doing it. No. God speaks. He still speaks. He will continue to keep speaking. He's going to keep talking when we get to heaven. He still speaks today and He will speak to you. Now, God gave Jonah an instruction to go to Nineveh. It wasn't about the city limits and the buildings of Nineveh. It wasn't about the property or the material things or the buildings or the homes or whatever or the businesses. Nineveh was the name of a city, but it represented thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Nineveh is people. That's what God was after, the people. So then that brings up a question. Who is your Nineveh? Who are the people that God is expecting you to touch as a result of obeying His instruction to you to go do this or to go do that? Who is your Nineveh? Who are they? Your family? Maybe. But you know what? My Nineveh might be your family. You haven't made much progress with them, now have you? Now, I'm not saying that to be critical. I understand what it's like. You know, sometimes it's like your family, they just, you know, you just can't connect when you're talking to them about the things of God. But you know, have you come in, and by golly, you might connect in 5 minutes and have them on their knees praying for repentance. And all you did was have a conversation and tell them about how much God loves you. And for some reason, click, it worked. My family might be your Nineveh. I don't know. You see this concept? Who is your Nineveh? The truth is, at the time Jonah got this word, he may have never in his life seen anybody from Nineveh. He may have never met anybody from Nineveh. All he knew is where it was. He just knew the location on the map. But he didn't know the people. But once he got there, he met Nineveh. He saw what it was God was after. Now, we're not going to get into chapter 4 yet tonight about Jonah's stinky attitude about the whole thing. That'll be for another sermon sometime down the road. The point I want to make is, when God gives you a word of instruction, that word of instruction, it's not just for your benefit. God wasn't sending Jonah to Nineveh to get rich. It's when God gives you a word of instruction, there is a kingdom purpose behind it. There are lives that you are going to impact. And we don't even know who they are yet. There are lives I'm going to impact. I got to tell you something. When I sit and I think about this, if I don't watch out, I will hammer myself with self-condemnation over how many people I am failing because I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. I mean, I might as well fess up. That's how it is. Because there are people out there that I have never met that are depending on me and they don't even know it. That whole city of Nineveh, 100,000 of them, 50,000, whatever it was. Do you understand every human being in that city was depending upon Jonah and they didn't even know it? Then he shows up. And the Old Testament version of revival hits a pagan city. Man, what a story. So who is your Nineveh? Who is my Nineveh? Truth is, we don't even know yet. Or you might know. I mean, maybe God's spoken to you, given you a revelation. You might know. I'm not sure. But I know this, just to kind of carry this line of thought, the Nineveh of my family members is waiting on you. And the Nineveh of your family members is waiting on me. Or somebody. And this is why it is so important. Whatever it is that God has told us to do, you know, I'm like trying to play the rewind on my mental tape player here. You know, okay, what did you tell me to do that I haven't done?
Did he tell you anything, Brother Martin?
Turn back over to Jonah. Yeah, there's some things he's brought up that I need to work on. And thank God for it. What I mean is thank God for his patience and his willingness to say, Jim, this is what I told you to do that you didn't do, or this is what you haven't completed, or this is what's almost done but not completely done. Thank God for His patience, His mercy, and His grace to put up with me. Now listen, some people could take this message and turn it into a thing of condemnation. It's not meant to be an issue of condemnation. What it's meant to be is an instruction of grace to help us understand whatever it is that God told us to do, whatever the last instruction is, that is still there waiting for completion. And even if it seems inconvenient or a hardship or intrusive into our time, the end result is going to be absolutely phenomenal. My inconvenience to obey His instruction could result in 1,000 people entering into the kingdom for all eternity. How in the world can I complain? You know what I mean? So I encourage you, those of you here tonight, those of you listening to this, I'm encouraging you to get with God and talk to Him. Ask Him, is there something you told me to do that I didn't do? And if so, would you please remind me? You know, I messed up here, didn't do it. Would you please remind me? And then I'm asking you to help me to be diligent and perseverant to do this, to accomplish it for you. And God, if it seems like it's an inconvenience to me, help me to see how it's a greater inconvenience to you if I don't do it. Wow. I hadn't thought of that till just now. Wonder where that came from. God loves us so much. I mean, thank God. He doesn't want to leave us in a fish belly. It's His intention for us to be released. Take the weeds from off our head and march into Nineveh and complete the work of the Lord. Praise God. You want instructions? He'll give them to you. Do what He tells you to do, and He'll keep giving you more and more and more. And listen, every step takes you deeper and deeper into the presence of His glory. Amen is right. Hallelujah.